Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peake, and welcome to episode 288 of Her, the podcast where you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, how she lives better as a woman. Oh boy, I can't wait for this interview. This is going to be a fantastic episode, and just know that it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. Okie dokie, now here's your first reminder. To click on to iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. We look forward to hearing from you. We love your feedback. So please, please, please rate and review the show. I'll remind you again a little later on.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind,
her body,
her life.
It's all about her.
Okay, what are we talking about today anyway? We're talking about how women can live better. Raise your hand if you're interested. Ha! Just what I thought. Well, I can't think of a better person to talk about this wonderful topic than Nina Kozlov. She founded Women Living Better to improve women's understanding and experience of the menopause transition. Honey, I don't care how old you are out there, y'all better be listening up, because sometime it's going to be hitting you, and earlier than you think, because it's something called the perimenopause. You don't just wait till you're 52. All kinds of funky things start happening as early as the late 30s. So listen up. WomenLivingBetter.org provides the information women need to understand the hormonal changes that begin around the age of 40. Nina's work is particularly focused on the earliest part of this many-year transition before cycles and periods change dramatically. Oh boy. Now, she has a master's in business administration from the Tuck School at Dartmouth and a BA in psychology. And boy, does she know what she's doing. And she wrote a book. It's called Food for Thoughtful Parenting. Now that I love too. All right, Nina, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, why did you found Women Living Better? I thought we were all living better anyway. I wrong?
It depends what you're comparing it to. You can always live better. So this started from my personal experience. I was in my early 40s, and seemingly all of a sudden, out of the blue, once a great sleeper, I was waking up at 2:18 most nights and awake for several hours in a row. It seemed, as I said, kind of out of the blue. And at the same time, I noticed this sort of, I think the broad term women use is kind of a new anxiety. But for me, it was more just like I couldn't cope as well as before. Things were worrying me more. And it just seemed, you know, nothing else had changed in my life. It seemed like something was going on. And so I asked my primary care doctor and my OBGYN, you know, could these things be related to hormonal changes that might eventually become menopause? And they both said, no, you're so young, you're still getting regular periods, right? And I was. And it didn't make sense. So I started delving into the research, and I soon reconnected with a friend of mine from business school, and she was having a very similar experience, slightly different symptoms. And the two of us said, let's investigate. And what we uncovered was that there wasn't much research about this earliest phase, but there was some. And we reached out to the people that were doing that work and told them we thought that there was kind of a missing research gap. And we did a survey to test that out with a broader group of women. And we realized really quickly we were onto something.
Well, what were you onto?
So, well, what we were onto was this time before cycles or periods are dramatically irregular. when women start experiencing symptoms. And it's very under-researched. And so when you go to your very well-intentioned, very smart healthcare providers, they give you that message. Many, many women get that message. You're too young. If your periods are still regular, it is not part of menopause or the path to menopause or perimenopause. And we now know it is. And so we took all of what we had learned and realized we had to share this with other women. And that was the birth of Women Living Better, the website. And the goal there is really to create awareness and so that women can get the, you know, the anticipatory guidance they need to understand what's going on for them. It would be better if it came sooner. You know, our vision is that at age 35, at your just general well visit or somewhere around there, your healthcare provider said, look, somewhere in the next 10 to 15 years, your body's going to start changing in these ways. Some women experience no symptoms. For some, there are this broad range of symptoms. And let me know if any of these, you know, get in the way or interfere in your life in any way. It's a normal transition. So that's what we hope to happen one day, but it's not happening now. And so we hope that women will find their way to Women Living Better, and it will make them realize that what they're going through, albeit sometimes disruptive, is normal. And they can understand what's happening to their bodies and what's causing these changes, symptoms, experiences.
I absolutely love the fact that you have put together your own beehive of top level advisors, and that you have reached out and you've become proactive about something that has annoyed me forever. And that is the fact that everyone thinks, and you know, I'm a provider, I'm a physician. And when women think about menopause, they go, oh yeah, when I turn 50. Oh yeah, isn't 51, 52 when all of that happens, whatever the heck all of that is. And suddenly you've got this this spreading out of the journey. And I think, I don't know if women want to laugh or cry about that. It's sort of like, you know, there's one thing about having it just happen, yep. You know, like, boom, we're done. And then there's another piece of it, like, wait a minute, this sucker goes on for how many years?
But, you know, I really believe, yeah, like, women are tough. Like, and just knowing, I think the surprise of it, and the often, once you are kind of not validated by a medical provider or dismissed or told that that's not what it is, I think the concern for women that it's any number of other things, right? The women who, the forgetfulness, we all know where that can go, the mental health, how many people have, you know, older relatives with mental health issues. I mean, it's easy to think you're jumping on some much worse path than these things are normal and associated with this, you know, crazy chaotic hormonal fluctuations that are going to go on, as you said, for some period of time. So I think that you know, the knowing is really important, the creating awareness. And I wish every woman could come and just look at the site and feel better is the goal.
I love the site. You know, I have it right up in front of me right now. And I remember when we, our team decided to really coordinate this interview, I was all about this. I was like, finally, someone's addressing the entire journey instead of just one piece of what actually happens when your periods stop, when we're kind of done here. Because, you know, I think one of the things it really does, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, in your own experience, but one of the things it has done for me when I really started getting into this quite some time ago was it should impress everyone with the fact that our sex hormones are so powerful that they need quite a bit of time to wean and to go through their changes before you actually enter full-on menopause. You don't just do this overnight. Now, some women do. And these are women who obviously have had surgery, cancer-related treatments, et cetera, et cetera. And that is a very, very tough situation because you're literally thrown mm-hmm. into menopause. But for natural menopause, you know, if I could use that term kind of somewhat generically here, you've got quite a journey here. And literally, especially estrogen is so powerful that it influences damn near every tissue in our body, everything from our brain to our, you know, vaginal walls. And it's important for us to honor how powerful that is and that there's going to be a transition period called the perimenopause, during which time your body adapts and adjusts to all of these changes from cells to hormones. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, it's so well said. I mean, I think one of the things that working on this project has given me is a major appreciation and respect for the power of hormones, as you said. And if you think about it, you know, it takes several years for this system to ramp up in adolescence. But, you know, adolescents can eat chips and sleep in, and they're not in a cornerstone of so many people's lives and careers. And so it makes sense that it takes years for it to ramp down as well. So I think that was, very, very well said. And you know,
it's interesting. Go ahead. Please.
You mentioned the point about this one women and thinking it's going to be later, much later. And that is bearing out. We can get to it in a little bit about some research that we're actually doing to fill this research gap and looking at this early time. And it's exactly right. Most women think this is going to happen to them in their, you know, early 50s, late 50s. We had another box. Women were saying even later, right? So it's a lot about the expectation and the lived experience just don't match. And we haven't educated ourselves, women, on when to expect it. And the other is that, you know, there's been so much focus on when it's going to end and the final menstrual period that so much of the research that has been done, you know, are these longitudinal studies, and it's expensive to do a longitudinal study. And so, you know, if you're all about figuring out when it's going to end, you don't want to start with women, you know, 10 years before it might end, because that's a really expensively long time to follow them. And a couple of research studies, and those are the people we reached out to in the beginning, did start looking at women at 35, but it's a long trajectory. So,
well, tell us about your research. I'm dying to hear this.
Yeah. So I mentioned one of the studies that started with women at 35 was the Seattle Midlife Women's Health Study. And that was led by Dr. Nancy Woods and Dr. Ellen Mitchell. And Nancy Woods is now a collaborator with a local, I live in Boston, OBGYN, Dr. Marcy Richardson, who's been leading a menopause clinic for about 25 years. So the three of us, I wear the Let's Think About Women hat, and Dr. Richardson wears the I'm a clinician and thinks about what do clinicians need to know and what's their kind of view on it. And Dr. Woods really, you know, is thinking about research and what's been done and how do we fit into that context. And so we created a survey, an online survey. We launched it in March. Our pandemic timing was impeccable. It was open from March 3rd till August 3rd. We had a Spanish version and an English version that had about 82 questions, and women spent on average about 16 minutes. And it was really a survey just to listen to women. Our goal is to characterize with the kind of scientific term is the late reproductive stage, as you probably know, but maybe listeners don't, the kind of official research definition for entry to the menopause transition or perimenopause is when a woman's cycles differ by 7 days. So that would mean I have a cycle of 33 days, and then the next month it's 26 days. And, you know, that's when you're pretty far along. And the period immediately preceding that, no pun intended, the stage immediately preceding that is the late reproductive stage. And there's just not much known about it. And so with the survey, we are trying to just find what women are experiencing. And so the survey asked women in several groups of symptoms. It gets pretty granular in terms of a whole bunch of questions around sleep, a whole bunch of questions around mood and vasomotor and all the regular things that get asked. And then we ask about how frequently they're happening and how bothersome they are. And then we get into the most bothersome symptom and how much that's interfering in your life. We ask women about what they do for self-care and to rate their stress and their health. And we're really excited to, as I said, just paint a clearer picture of what women in this earlier time are experiencing.
Are you actually going to publish this data?
That's the goal. So we're meeting weekly, and Dr. Woods is running the analysis, and our goal is to first publish this data and then, you know, get it out to more kind of mainstream media through publications where women will see it. It'll, of course, be on Women Living Better, and we'll find other partners to get it out there. And so, and then I really also... our goal is to get this into the healthcare provider community too, for the people that are seeing women at this age and stage, because it's such a critical time. And I think we have a miss right now where women, they've been really healthy. They haven't had to, you know, seek healthcare for a long time generally. And then they go with what they're not uncertain about, and their healthcare provider either said, no, that's not it, or I can't help you, or it's normal, or tough it out, or you're too young. There's a whole, we're analyzing a question in the survey about that right now, kind of a qualitative one. And it really, instead of building trust at a critical time when there could be lots of health promotion and how to put in, you know, good lifestyle practices to fend off the things that are coming, osteoporosis and cardiovascular disease and all types of things, I think sometimes it turns women away and said, wow, that my healthcare provider doesn't understand me. And if they're really symptomatic, I frankly think it leaves them open to, you know, products and programs that either are a waste of money or potentially unsafe. But at the very least, it causes, I think, some distrust. And at a time when we really want to kind of bond with healthcare providers and women to make a plan and stay healthy.
I love that. I just love that whole approach, which is, you know, inform like mad, empower like mad, and then really sit back and say, advocate for yourself. Talk right back and say, wait a minute now. Don't you think I'm going through something called the perimenopause? Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, there's no dialogue. There's someone pontificating. And then you're left not only not trusting, but, you know, in a way, you question yourself. Well, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe I'm a nutcase. Maybe there's something wrong with me. And, you know, and then you start going down that little rabbit hole, which is completely inappropriate. You know, I was thinking about something, Nina. I'm an NIH-based scientist. And in my laboratory, right about down the hall, there's another lab when I was there that was looking specifically at female cycling, you know, with sex hormones. And what we found was that in the perimenopause, that there is no linear decrease, as it were, of the sex hormones. They're kind of jumping all over the place. But if you actually draw a trending line through almost a scattergram, as it were, you actually see that it's trending down, that you are very, very methodically and gradually weaning, your body is weaning itself from the sex hormone. And I'll never forget looking at the original data, because what it shows you is that a woman's body is ridiculously dynamic. That moment to moment, you know, things are going on, changing. If it's the heat or the cold in the room, if it's a stress at the time, and it goes on, nutrition, physical activity, all of this is just a huge integrative constellation of things going on, influencing this entire perimenopause. And it's so exciting to know that you're really drawing attention to this phase. So how can a woman optimize her own health and well-being? How can she live better through the perimenopause?
Well, I would say the first thing is through education, understanding what is happening biologically during this phase, and also really, really getting to know your own body. I think for so long we just, you know, buy the menstrual products and hide them away, and sometimes we know when our, you know, periods are coming, sometimes we don't. But for me anyway, this has been a time of really starting to track my cycles, any symptoms that I have. And the understanding of it all is really, to use a word you used earlier, is empowering. Knowing what is going on with you is really, really empowering. And then it sounds, you know, a cliche, or it seems almost like, you know, too easy, but it really, you know, the amount of sleep you get starts to matter way more as our bodies are dealing with these changes and adapting to these changes. And hydration and eating well, all of those like really fundamental things that you kind of didn't have to do in your 20s. And for most of your 30s, your body just kind of, you know, took it and absorbed it. They really, really make a difference. And so I think, you know, the messages we try to give on the site are there's a whole bunch of lifestyle things that exercise is another one. The right amount of exercise. I think, again, our bodies are under stress while these hormone levels are initially fluctuating. And I think there's some great data we used from Dr. Nanette Santoro, where she actually found that, you know, the decline you talked about is true as you get to your final menstrual period. But early on, estrogen is actually sometimes higher and spikier than it's ever been before. Your body's dealing with like these erratic, you know, as you call it, a scatter plot, these erratic levels. And if your body needs more support, whether you call it self-care or just the basics, those things can go a long way. And then I think, you know, when you've done all of those and these symptoms and things are still getting in the way, then I think it's time to find a healthcare provider. And I think more and more, it's important to find a healthcare provider that really matches what you need. And I think, again, here is somewhere where it's good to self-assess what do you need. I think some women want, they want to leave with a solution, whether it's a prescription or something, you know, very specific that will take away their most bothersome symptom. I think other women hearing the message that this is normal, you'll get through it, and it's a bumpy road, and let's iterate through, and I'll be here to talk through it with you. That's okay. And I think understanding what it is that's going to help you, and then finding that provider. And if you have to, you know, cycling through a couple providers that you feel really listen and support in the way that you need to be supported. And also broadening. I think a lot of people think this is a GYN thing, and there are some GYNs that specialize in this and really know their stuff, but a lot don't. There are some family doctors that can help you through this. There's nurse midwives that can be tremendously helpful as well. And so I think that's really that all of those things I think can help women live better. I mean, you may have some of your own things to add to that.
Well, heck yeah. I think that, you know, I'm actually a lifestyle medicine expert. So you're absolutely singing the right songs in my world. But here's something interesting. I'm actually a stress physiologist in my world, in my laboratory. And we looked at how cortisol, which is stress hormone, actually affects things like this, like the perimenopause. Now, how does that actually happen? We found out that stress hormone actually courses with its best friend, estrogen. So where one goes, the other one goes. So for instance, if you're under a lot of stress and you're like, you know, ripping your hair out and, you know, and having one of those, you know, months, forget days, but and back and forth. What that does is for a woman who's already in her, you know, beginning the perimenopausal journey, it takes what is already a spiky, erratic journey with sex hormones, and it makes it worse. So this is one of the reasons why vasomotor symptoms like hot flashes and the rest of it, why all of the symptoms you write out on your on your wonderful website for women to actually have a little look at under common symptoms. So many of these are deeply disturbed by stress hormone out of control. So this is another reason why you wake up in the middle of the night, because quite frankly, when estrogen's spiking all over the place, it, you know, its best friend cortisol is also there too. And cortisol, if it's below a certain threshold level, will keep you asleep. But if, once it pops up, you have that delightful experience of wakefulness. You know, that little, what was it, 2 in the morning? 2:17 a.m. in the morning, not 2:15. Not 2:18, but 2:17, right there on the nose. Yeah, that's exactly what that was all about. So part of one of the biggest things I ask women to do is think of a stress resilient centric lifestyle, where, you know, almost everything we're talking about here, from cognitive performance to your ability to be able to control sleep, to be able to have the optimal sleep, to be able to control even the it's not even so much weight gain as it's shape shifting. Suddenly, you know, a lot of that fat that you thought was on your hips and thighs, you know, has sort of migrated upstairs. And now you have all of this extra waist circumference in addition to gaining weight. So it's really two things that are going on there. So much of this can be addressed by appropriate and regular physical activity, nutrition, and as well, making certain that you're doing the sleep hygiene, that you're really, really, really addressing stress. What are your coping mechanisms? How resilient are you? How can you adapt and adjust to life's, you know, a million challenges a day, especially when you're coursing through your 40s. So that's the way I like to kind of, you know, redefine the narrative a little bit. But it's really totally aligned with how your wonderful website, again, Women Living Better, addresses this whole issue. I really congratulate you and your entire team, all your advisors, for finally trying to fill that unmet need on the part of women out there who really need this information. They don't know what's going on, and give them a resource and a place where they can not only learn more, but feel empowered, more in control, and they can advocate for themselves and optimize the entire journey. How's that sound?
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. That's what we hope to do. And I think the other thing for those that check out the site, you know, the there's places on the site, there are one question polls, there are little forms to be filled out. And I will say that, you know, this is the team is all the women that come to that site too and share their experience. And a lot of what we heard from women became part of this bigger survey, using in women's words the symptoms they were describing. So not just anxiety, but feeling like I can't cope or feeling like my body can't calm down. So it has been a major group effort, and there have been, you know, countless women's fingerprints on the direction. There's quotes from women. So Women Living Better is an effort of many, many women and women sharing their experience, because I think they realize it is an unmet need. And if we all kind of work together, that's how we're going to, you know, that's how we're going to live better into the next decade and the generations to follow us as well.
Absolutely. So I once again congratulate you so much on this excellent work. Everyone, we have been talking to Nina Kozlov, and she is the founder of Women Living Better. Run on over to the website, womenlivingbetter.org, to learn more. Nina, thank you so much for being on the Her podcast, because I got to tell you, our Her listeners just eat this stuff up. It's so wonderful and so refreshing to know you're on top of this. Thank you so much, Nina.
Thank you. It's been great.
All right, everyone, run on over to iTunes right now and rate and review the show, because we're just sitting here waiting to hear from you. Certainly I am. Why? Because I'm Dr. Pam Peake, host of the Her podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek, Twitter at Pam Peek MD, and Instagram at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Her podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. Stay safe and stay well.